All right. Second Peter. Last chapter. Coming into the home stretch here. But I've been led to back up just a little bit before I move into the next verses that we are to teach this morning. Not so much as a review, because I still am going to tackle some more verses and move forward. But I just want to pull out a little bit more. I know that we have a desire to serve God. And I know that some of us are struggling. And I know that there are others, if we were just honest with ourselves, we're not struggling at all. We don't know what to do. We're dealing with the same patterns over and over again. And we have an understanding of what we believe is right. But there's a struggle for some of us, and there's a comfort zone for some of us where there's not really a struggle at all. I don't know where we are this morning. I don't know how to read minds or hearts. And I'm not trying to cast judgment on anybody. But it is my desire that this Sunday would be the day that God really breaks me. That He really breaks you. That we go forward in God without looking back. Amen? That's my desire. That's on my heart this morning. Is that okay? 2 Peter 3, going back to verse 7. When you have it, say amen. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. Underline that word, fire. Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Ooh, underline the word ignorant. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Underline repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Comma, the earth also, keyword, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy, underline this, conversation, and, underline this, godliness. Ooh, my goodness. Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Wherein the heavens being on fire, again, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, here we go, looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. My God. I'm going to speak to you today for the title, Changing Our Perspective. Changing Our Perspective. Keep your finger there and go to Hebrews 12, 29. I'm going to start with an interesting scripture just to set this up. Hebrews 12, 29. When you have to say amen. Hebrews 12, 29 reads, "For our God is a consuming fire." Period. Now, of course, that means there's something attached to that. Before this verse, it speaks of things that will be shaken so violently by the judgment of the Lord that only the real things, or the things that are real, will remain. The earth and the heavens as we know it, and all the order that prevents total chaos, will be consumed. My goodness. Here's the point. To those who have heard God and responded to Him, God is a fire, yes, but a purifying fire. Amen? Purifying fire that removes imperfections, making the believer perfect, making the believer what? Especially for those who are at the rapture time, perfectly glorified. Amen? Glorified. But to those who have rejected Him, God is also a fire, but a consuming fire that devours and destroys and torments forever. Fire one way or the other. Fire into purity or fire into eternal torment and destruction. One way or the other. Now back to 2 Peter 3, 17, 13. Help me, Holy Spirit. Here we go. You ready? But the heavens, and the earth. Pause. Let's dissect that a little bit. Let's break that down. The heavens and the earth. Now, not heaven as in God's throne. But heaven as in the sky, the stars, the galaxy. Amen? The planets. Amen? The known universe as we can see it. The heavens. And the earth, the planet that we live on now as we know it now. Which are now, presently, what we see now, the heavens which are now, presently, by the same word, are kept in store. What does that mean? By the same word that came from God when He flooded the water, remember last week? When He flooded the earth with the water, are being kept in store. The chaos that is sure to come is being held back by God. Key point. But reserved. Unto what? Fire. The chaos is being held back by God, yet reserved. Unto fire. You know when you go out and eat at a restaurant, you make what? Reservations. Right? What? And I'm gonna eat a real nice steak or a piece of chicken. And I make reservations and I reserve the spot for a specific appointed time when I will arrive. What does it say? Well, God has made reservations for the heavens and the earth for what? Fire. Against the day of judgment. What does that mean? On the day of judgment, fire. Now, what's happening here? Take a look around. Everybody, take a hand out of your book for a minute and just look around. Let's look at the trees. Look at the wood. There's squirrels out there somewhere trying to have church. There's all kinds of things. Just take a look around. What do you see? Lights. A lot of things to see. Walls. Paint. Nice painting here. Sound systems. All these things that you see. Look at the chairs you're sitting in. Mm-hmm. Nice, sturdy chairs. Everybody, pat your feet on the ground. Nice, solid ground, isn't it? Isn't that nice? Nice, huh? All of that. Everything you see. Everything on this planet is being reserved for fire. It's all gonna burn. Mm-hmm. And here's the funny part. We are all here doing our very best, striving and worrying ourselves to death, just so we can have the happiest experience here. So we can have the best time that we can have on a planet that's going to burn up. Now, I need to say early here that there's a great argument as to what burnt up or reserved for fire actually means. A lot of scholars have some disagreement on that, and I'm going to go into that in just a minute. But for what you need to understand right now is what you see now, after judgment, nothing will be the same. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And yet, most of what we're praying about and asking God for is about what we see here and now. Isn't that interesting? Help me, Holy Spirit. But not only that, it says the day of judgment, right? And perdition of godly, ungodly men. So not only will the elements burn up, but also the people that didn't take God seriously are going to burn up. Old school holiness message, number 45. Interesting when you preach the Bible. Okay? The people who died without forgiveness from God burn up. The people who thought that they were good enough because they did good things and they were not so bad as so-and-so burn up. Uh-huh. The people who never turned from sin, who thought God wasn't smart enough to know whether or not they were really believers or not, burn up. The people who thought that they had more time to surrender to God, and just took their time saying yes to God, and thought that they had all summer long to do whatever they wanted to in front of God, burn up. Why? Because their view of time is from a human perspective. And the problem is we need a new perspective. We need God to change our perspective. What is he saying? Well, look at verse 8. Let's just go right down the line. But beloved, who's talking to? Christians. Okay? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Talk about this a little bit last Sunday. Let's talk a little more. Let's go a little deeper. Okay? Be not ignorant of this one thing. That word ignorant means something hidden from you. Ooh. But Christians, beloved, those that can hear me, don't be ignorant of this. Don't be in a position where this truth is hidden from you. The human mind, by default, is ignorant of the secrets of God. Uh-huh. So the only way to get secrets or to know the secrets is to go to where the secrets are revealed. Because naturally, I'm not going to know the secrets. Where are the secrets? Hidden in God's Word. Uh-huh. Without the Word, he's saying, don't be ignorant of this. Don't be ignorant of this. You will never know this without the Word. This shall be hidden from you without the Word of God. Leaning to your own understanding is not enough understanding. You need understanding outside of your own understanding. understanding so you can get a better understanding. Because your understanding is missing some understanding. So he's saying, be not ignorant of this what? One thing. It's a command. Be not. It's an imperative. Be not. Christians, be not ignorant. Be diligent to inform yourselves of the secrets of God so that this one thing will not be hidden from you, because you're never going to think like this on your own. Is that clear? He's commanding you. Turn the TV off and learn this. That's what he's saying. He's saying, get in your word so you know this, because you'll never come up with this on your own. What is this one thing he wants you to get? For those of us who think we have a lot of time, that one day is what the Lord has, 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. We will never be able to understand that totally. So he has to tell us that and gift that to us in his word. I just want you, even though you don't totally get it, to just know this. Yeah, I have already preached. What is he talking about? Know this. Don't be ignorant of this. Give me Psalm 90:4. Psalm 90:4. Real quick. Keep your finger in 2 Peter. Going to pivot back to 2 Peter, because that's where we are. But Psalm 90:4. Talking about God here. For you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. My goodness. We can't even fathom that. This was said in the Psalms long ago. Peter is not saying something new here. This is something that the believers should know. This is something you only find out from getting in your word, so that the secrets of God are exposed to you. So you're not walking around blind and not knowing what is the truth about the character of God and how he sees things from his perspective. Understand this, okay? Something we should always know. So, God, who has always existed from eternity past, which means a past that has no beginning. Did you catch that? There's no beginning to God. God didn't start. He's God. He starts stuff. Nothing starts him. Are you catching this? Eternity past. That's like, what? I can think of eternity going on and on forever, but I can't always conceptualize in my mind eternity past. It's just, you just been. God, from eternity past, no beginning, all the way to God's eternity future, which means no end. Alpha and Omega. I just exist. That's a guy. Wrap your mind around that. Pull out your calculator. Go on, that's right. My goodness. That's who we're dealing with. Okay? There's no beginning to him. There's no ending to him. God, that God, is looking at the time that he has allowed for humans to exist. From the time of Adam to the last person that will be made before the return of Christ, he's looking at that thing and saying, that's all of you, that's all y'all gonna get. It's that small to him. It's nothing to him as far as time. From the time that Adam and Eve to the last person that will ever be able to walk the face of the earth, God can look at all that time as something like this. This small. My goodness. That's who we're really dealing with. What's the point of that, Pastor? All of human history is but a moment to God. From the time of Adam to the last person that will ever, it's nothing but a moment to God. In the time it takes you and I to blink, are you kidding this? That's how fast thousands of days and go fast for God. That's just nothing. He can squash a millennium into a day. I want you to know who we're dealing with here. Without allowing anything or missing anything that's going to go against his will. So he can reach inside time. Step outside of time. Not be affected or restricted by time. The earth is moving around the sun, but it doesn't affect God because he put the earth and the sun there in the first place. So how we look at time is not the way he looks at time. And he can do all that, squash it into one day, and not miss a thing.
No.
Fully orchestrate your life. See, I see you struggling. You're going, my goodness. My brain hurts. That's who we're dealing with. So what's the point? What seems like a very long time to us is that short to God. What does that mean, Pastor? When it comes to, as I said last week, people thinking, well, we've been here for so long, and everything just keeps going on like it's been going on. I guess Jesus is never coming back. I guess this judgment day will never happen. I guess because it's been so long. I mean, I've been waiting on my retirement for a long time. I mean, I don't know when God's supposed to show up, but it sure is taking a long time for him to do what he said he's going to do. I guess I might as well kick it in sin. You need a new perspective. You are superimposing your understanding of time over God's. And not the other way around. Because what is really happening is his perspective and not ours. Watch this. Verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. Just in case you think that judgment day is not coming and that God is taking a long time when time is nothing to him, here's some more perspective for you. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God is not taking a long time to bring the fire judgment. He's not. He's not taking a long time because time for God is not the same for us. He's not, you know, slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, because the way you count. I can't drive this nail in deep enough. Okay. But he's not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering. Woo! But wait a minute. There's more. This thing is stacked, people. That's why we got to go word by word, line by line. Is long suffering toward us, to us word. He's extending grace. He's giving grace to men. He's outside of time when he knows that this we only got this much time and graciously extending the time. What? For you and I to get saved, and your cousins to get saved, and your co-workers to get saved, and your neighbors to get saved, and for the folks sitting up here in this church to get saved. Quiet on that one. Not willing what? That any should perish. Not wanting or willing that any should perish. It's not God's desire for any of us to burn in hell, separated from his presence forever. That is not who he is. He does not want that to happen. It's not his desire that anybody would perish. That's not his plan. He's extending time. He's like, oh, give him a little bit more, just a little. Huh? At the same time, the date is reserved. You got to work that out in your own mind. Huh? God is extending grace, up to a point. And then it's over. Just like with the ark, right? Noah's building and building and building, and people are saying, you know, Noah, this is ridiculous. You look so stupid doing this. What is a boat? You're going to float for what? What is floating? I don't float. What is going to come from where? That's ridiculous. That can't happen. Right up to the day. And God said, that's it. I'm waiting for the last squirrel. The chickmunks are all loaded. The gorillas have on their seatbelts. It's over. It's a wrap. Shut the door. Done. Why? What's the point? That all of us should come to repentance. That all of us should come to repentance. God in his love is waiting and being patient, wanting you and I to hear him and to turn from our temporary pleasures. Because he's already set a time for destruction. The reservations have been made. The clock is ticking. Get off the fence. Quit playing with God. Do not take his long suffering for granted. Turn from your sin. Receive the grace that God willingly provided that he never had to provide, but just chose to provide for the benefit of you and I, so that Jesus Christ and his blood can make us whole, that we can be forgiven, so that we washed, in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven of all of our sins, everything we've ever done wrong. He did that for you and me. That is not something we take for granted. He's waiting patiently, not desiring that anyone would die in their sins. When the time runs out, and you either run out of time here on earth, or you are allowed to see the day when he comes through the clouds and the chaos begins, no one will be able to say that God did not give them a lifetime to turn to him. You will not be able to say God wasn't fair. That's not the truth. No one will be able to have excuse. No one will. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord. Underline the day of the Lord. Very key. This is when Jesus comes. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. My goodness. Let's just stop there for a minute. When a thief wants to break into your house, he doesn't come to your job and check your schedule and say, you know, I'm looking at my calendar here and I'm thinking, I could rob you blind on Thursday. How does that work for you? No, Thursday's not good. No? Okay. You got a hot right. You're going to need your TV on Friday, but that won't work. Because you have a date Friday. You can't be sitting there without your TV in case you want to watch a show. I tell you what, how's Saturday? There's no notice when a thief comes. There's no text message coming. No Amber Alert, no email, no emergency broadcast system. Remember that? When he comes, nobody will be ready. No one will be alerted. You're either ready before, or you're not ready at all. Oh my goodness. What's going to happen? Oh, careful, Jamie, careful. Careful with these words. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh, my goodness. The earth also. So, the elements burn up. With fervent heat, the earth also. And the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, I need you to put on your thinking cap here for a minute. Some scholars are in disagreement as to what burn up means. Some people believe burn up means burn up. I went to Yale for that one. But watch this, because I like this. This is brilliant. Some people believe that God is going to restore the world, not totally destroy it, but make it new. As it says in Revelation 21, right? Making it new, keeping some of it, giving the earth a sinless makeover. Kind of like what happens with the bodies that are caught up, where they are changed. Not destroyed, but shall be changed, right? Better versions of the body. Bodies without sin. Right? But here's the point. I can go with both. I believe it's both. Let me tell you why. Don't miss the point of the passage trying to decide what God will or will not destroy. Who really knows? That's not the point. The bottom line is you better be ready. Listen up. No matter what interpretation you have, when you come up with the words burn up, it doesn't sound like something I want to experience. If I go to a restaurant and they ask me, Walter, how would you like your chicken? Would you like it cooked or burnt up? Well, let me think about that for a minute. You're going to give me a burnt up piece of chicken with a side of lettuce, tomatoes, and mayonnaise, and Grey Poupon. Is it that's going to help me with a burnt up piece of chicken? That's not going to do me any good. It's a burnt up, what do you do with a burnt up piece of chicken but throw it at somebody? You can't eat a burnt up piece of chicken. Get this mayonnaise away from me. You ain't helping me. What are you saying, Pastor? See, listen, that's kind of like that fire of God. I would like my chicken cooked because that would purify it. Yeah. Woo! 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 But burnt up is pointless. Useless. Take all the impurities out of it so I don't get salmonella. Yeah, cook it. but burnt up.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a black piece of chicken. And I can't do a thing with it. It's destroyed. Would you like a destroyed chicken sandwich? No. Okay, I think you get it, right? It's a little over the top, but I think you get it. So be careful, because knowledge puffs up. Because you don't get to heaven because you're a genius at how you calculated what God is going to do and what he's not going to do. You get to heaven because you're forgiven. That's how you get there. All right? So I can go either way. I can believe it means burned up. I can believe it means, you know, some other things. But let me show you the other side of this. Because I do agree with this. Because I can see this in the Word. I can see how they got there. It's not like they're just pulling stuff out of thin air. Okay? What we want to do is we want to make sure that whatever burnt up means, you're on the right side of judgment. That's what you want to do. Okay? Because here's the other part. And I like what they're saying here, because this makes a lot of sense. Great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also burnt up, right? And the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Now, some people believe that means exposed. And I understand where they're coming from. Okay? Why, Pastor? Why? Because we shall see, what all of our efforts really amounted to. We will know if all our time and energy and pursuits really have any value, or if it was completely and totally pointless. Did you use your time wisely? Or did you spend your time chasing a bunch of stuff that's going to burn up anyway? What did you do for Christ? Because only what you do for Christ will last. So I see it. This stuff's going to burn up. And all your works that they wasn't about glorifying God, burned up. Verse 11, bring this to a close. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, here's the point, people. All these things shall be dissolved. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? What kind of person should I be, knowing that God is holding it back? That the time is not as large as I think it is. That any moment now he can come. What kind of stuff am I going to get myself into? What kind of living am I going to do? What and who am I pursuing? Are they worth it? Woo-hoo! What kind of stuff, what kind of relationship am I going to have? What person am I going to get myself involved in? What kind of stuff why do I feel like I just must do this and must do that? How am I going to deal with my finances? How am I going to deal with, do I skim a little bit off the top at the job? And how honest am I with the car people when I'm trying to get the best deal? Do I pay people on time? How do I talk to people? How much information of my brothers and sisters do I let come out of my mouth? How do I treat my children? What kind of holy living am I going to do? When they see me, are they going to see Jesus Christ? Or will they think I'm just like the world? Am I living holy?
Yeah. Oh my.
Knowing that God is holding it back. For this amount of time, for my ability to get my act together and to do what I need to do, and ask God to help me. Get on my knees and say, Lord, I can't even do it by myself. I need your help. Be honest with God. Say, I tried last week, it was a mess. Come on, let's try again this week. an earnest desire to live holy before God who has given me something I don't even deserve. What is that? Time. What do I do with my time? What do I do with my time? How do I live before God knowing that this can happen?
At any moment.
At any moment. Thank you, sister. Any moment. Huh? But not only holy conversation, holy living, but godliness. Godliness. Because of the same reasons, because of the same intentions, because of the same purposes, huh? What's my reverence for God? What's my worship attitude towards God? How for the blood of Jesus that I have on my life covering me and giving me insurance from his wrath? Huh? What kind of worship do I give God knowing that he spared me from the fire? The fire that's reserved for everybody else is not sure. It can't come nigh me because I'm reserved in a whole other spot. I'm protected. What kind of worship do I give God? How should I come in singing to the Lord? Woo! When I come to church, what kind of worship do I give God? How do I sing to God? Huh? How should I praise God knowing I've been set aside? How should I thank God today for what he's done? What's my attitude towards God? How do I show up on church on Sunday morning anyway? Huh? How many Sundays do I skip knowing that I've been set aside? How many football games do I watch? How many parties must I attend? Huh? What gets in the way of my worship? It's godliness. Huh? Godliness. Godliness is, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to lift his name. I came to magnify God. I came because he set me aside. I don't know what you came to do this morning, but I came to lift him up. I came to give God glory. Because I realize I've been set aside. Huh? What I have is a new perspective on who I serve. I have a new perspective on the grace of God that I've been freely given. Do I come in like, oh, it's just another Sunday? No, 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 no. Because he's pushing it aside. He's holding it back. There's chaos right behind him. All he has to go is just... What kind of worship do I give God? What kind of thanksgiving do I give God? I know I'm dealing with problems. I know I'm dealing with issues. But is my issue bigger than God? I know it's tight. Does that change the way I feel about God? What kind of service do I give to God? What kind of, huh? Who do I really belong to? Ooh. Godliness. What is it? I'm talking about a change of perspective. Looking for 12. Hastening unto the coming of the day. Is it there? Let me see. Yes. The day of God. Uh-huh. The day of God. The day of God. It's not the same as the day of the Lord. Let me just explain this to you right quick. Let me finish right now and I'll explain it. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. To explain this, let me give you another scripture. 1 John 3:2-3. 1 John 3, third chapter, verse 2 and 3. I'm going to move a little bit more expeditiously now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, but we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, in him, does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. looking forward to the day of not the Lord, but of God. Hang with me. I'm going to bring this around a minute. Give me 1 John 5, 2 through 4. 1 John 5, 2 through 4. Almost done. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. I love this part. For this is the love of God. That we keep His commandments. What? And His commandments are not what? Grievous. His commandments don't break me down and get on my last nerve. His commandments are not so burdensome that I don't want to do them. Are you getting this? He that's looking forward to his appearing keepeth himself pure because he is pure. And his commandments are not burdensome. What are you saying, Pastor? The day of God is not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day of Christ's return. But the day of God is the time in which the final destruction is already over. Watch this. Instead, it's not the time when destruction takes place. It's when the time of the destruction has already taken place. Okay? Alright? Instead of this ultimate judgment must occur before the day of God. That's the day of the Lord, because that day must be ushered in the day of God. So the day of the Lord is when Jesus comes back, because the day of the Lord is when Christ is returning, there it is, to deal with sin. The day of God is a time when there is no sin. There you go. Why? Because Jesus Christ has already come to reign in power and authority, and he's ruling with an iron rod. Right? So he's dealt with sin during the day of the Lord, but the day of God is like, okay, there's no presence of sin. It's gone. So he's saying, back to verse 12, 3:12. 2 Peter 3:12. Hasten to the day of the coming of the day when God, the day of God, there it is, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be melt with a fervent heat. He's basically saying, what kind of person should we be for? We should be looking forward to the day of God. I have a different perspective. I'm not looking forward to tomorrow here. I'm looking forward to the day of God. One more scripture, just to tie this all in, and I'm going to come right back. Revelation 21 and 3. Revelation 21 and 3. And I'll put it all together. Real quick. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Woo! And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. I'll go into that next week. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, are passed away. Now watch this. Skip down to verse 8. Here's the warning. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Just touch it to you. Save it for next week. Skip to verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth. Can't get through the gates. But it's all gone. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Absence of sin. Gone. The only place where that is in hell. This is what we are hasting and looking forward to. Not the day of judgment. The day of the Lord. Yes, we want to see him come through the clouds. Yes. But what we're really looking forward to is what happens after that. The day of God. Where you and I are perfect. There is no sin. Are you catching this? Back to 2 Peter 3:13. Two more verses and we're going to clear this out. You love the Word of God? So, here's the point. You're saying that this judgment day is coming. I don't see it's coming. We've been here all this time. I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. I wish you Christians would just shut up with all that so I can get on with my life. I want to do my thing. You're cramping my style. Okay. I'll pray for you. As for me, I'm not going to be like you. I'm looking forward to something. Nevertheless, verse 13 says, according to his promise, which means you must know his promise. According to his promise, we look for new heavens. And a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There you go. You got it, Pastor. No sin at all. No imperfections at all. A place that we've never even seen before. My hope is built on things eternal. Not what's here. Here we go. We've got to change our perspective and start looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. Some of us are only looking forward to what we can have and obtain here. We look at this life and we ask God to bless us with earthly things because we don't want to miss out on what seems to be the best things that life has to offer us here. And we get frustrated with God because he's not moving fast enough to give us what we feel we are entitled to since we've been brought to this earth. What happened? And it looks like to us from our point of view, because we don't have the right perspective, that we're running out of time. I don't know if you noticed, God, but I'm getting older. I mean, I've been praying for years now. This is going to be a little mature, but I've been praying for somebody to be with. And I need to make sure that before I get off this planet, that you give me somebody so I can be with them. I mean, I haven't had some be with. There's been nobody. And I need to make sure that you understand, God, as I'm praying to you, that I need to have somebody. And somebody need to have me. So I'm trying to do this your way. I'm sitting up in church Sunday after Sunday, wanting to do it in a holy way. But it's taking you a little too long, God, to come through with my honey. Where is my honey? I've been here long enough. I've been praying consistently. I know you want me to live holy, Lord, but I'm giving you notice. You've got to the end of 2018 before I go out there and find myself my own blessing. I've been waiting, God. I'm gonna fix this thing myself. Here's the problem with that kind of thinking. You believe the same thing that Eve believed. That God is somehow keeping something from you that you believe you're entitled to. And your lack of truth has provided you with the wrong perspective. A limited point of view. What we need is a new perspective. The truth is, the best, I'm going to just say it, because our children will hear it eventually. But the best sex that you will ever have on earth should not ever be compared to the pleasures you will experience in heaven as the bride of Christ. I'm going to say that again. That's big for some of us. The best that you can have here on earth should never compare to the experience of being in the presence of God as the bride of Christ. So the devil is tricking you into thinking that disobedience will provide you with pleasure for here and right now versus having obedience provide you with pleasures forevermore in the presence of God. Threaten over a man and a woman that's probably going to lie to you, cheat on you, break your heart 2 or 3 times before they finally get some sense. And while you're trying to obtain all this stuff here on earth, you still got to do it with Kaiser right behind your back. Stutter health behind your back. I'm going to have the best time I can with health challenges right behind you. You just look over your shoulder. Here comes Kaiser. Right when you was having your best night. You on your way to the hospital. Trying to have all this pleasure here. It is not to be compared. I know this is big for some of y'all. But I'm teaching the truth. Listen. Let me explain something to you. Death is right at your door. Whether you realize it or not. If you just look over your shoulder, you see that after you got what you thought you had to get or whatever you wanted to get, here comes trouble. And you're mad at God because he won't answer your prayer. Nice and quiet. Same thing with money, friends, material wealth, accolades, trophies, leisure vacations, to exotic places. All of God's people are waiting for God to give them something that they want. And then you got all these preachers lined up to promise you that God is going to do exactly what you said. I feel like God. This is your season. And God. And we get all caught up and give money to everybody because they said, God. I just said, God. That don't mean it's going to happen. This is your season. This is your divine miracle. This is your divine appointment. Your appointed time. Your appointed time to get God to do whatever you want him to do. And you get all the way up there. And you get happy, and let's just say that God gives you that season. Well, I'm saying that whatever that season is, it's still going to have to pass through the fire. You can be famous for 15 minutes or happy for 15 minutes, and that's going to still have to pass through the fire. Then it's over. Then what do you do? And after that season passes through the fire, if God says that that season has no eternal value, then guess what's going to do? Burn up. Because it wasn't about nothing. I see some people looking like your dreams have been crushed. You've got to give me some hope in something. I was really hoping for that honey. I was hoping for that money and that honey. And then I have nothing but Jesus. Exactly. Because that's what it all comes down to anyway. And that's why folks get up and run and go to another church. I need somebody to tell me that God. And you know you got videotapes after videotapes of people saying that. Some of the things that we are frustrated with God about don't have any eternal value. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. Some of the things that we are frustrated with God about don't have any eternal value. And Jesus already knows that it's not going to pass through the fire. So he does not answer that prayer. And we get upset with him because he has enough love for us to tell us no. He's like, that's going to be a 10-year distraction and you really can't afford that. Because the time is this short. You don't know how long you really have. The truth is, here it is, people. Hear me. Hear me when I say it. Almost done. The truth is, we would be a lot happier if we could inform ourselves of what is true and what is good from the Word of God. Found in the Word of God. And we may have more joy if we were not so ignorant of God's everlasting promises. I'm going to say that again. You and I would be a lot happier if we had more truth and informed ourselves diligently on what's coming, then we wouldn't be so disappointed on what's not happening now. What's wrong with you, Brother Jamie? Something disappointed me. Isn't that what happened? I thought it would come through. It didn't work out. My children didn't get into that school. I did everything I knew how to do for them. They messed up. I don't know what happened. My family's in the shambles. I don't know what's going on. What's happening? I'm disappointed because what God is not allowing to happen here. Isn't that true? That's how I feel sometimes, right? Let's just be honest. I want some things here. But when those times come, if I don't have a promise to pull me out of that depression, see, I gotta have something that's outside of what I see to lift my heart to where it ought to be. If I don't have that, then I'll stay there looking at God, mad at God because he said no to something that I don't even really need. Did you catch that? Why are you sorrowful? Because I don't have my eyes on him. I have my eyes on everything else. And I'm upset. Because Jesus has a problem with competition. All of this is not to be compared with the peace and the pleasure that the believer will experience in the presence of God and our Creator. We need a perspective change. We need to be grateful for the time that God has given us to change. I need a perspective change, and I need to be grateful for the time that God has given me to change. There it is. If I was using my time wisely, I'd have my mind and my thoughts and my focus on my heart that's not lining up with God and saying, this is where the attention needs to be. I'm doing things I should not be doing. I'm not taking you seriously. I'm playing Russian roulette with my soul. And I'm focused on a Mercedes. I'm going to close with this and we're done. Just let me some scripture here. Jeremiah 21:8-9. I apologize for the long message, but I got to get this out. Jeremiah 21:8-9. Tell all the people this is what the Lord says. Ooh. Take your choice of life or death. Interesting set of circumstances here. I'll explain in a minute. Everyone who stays in Jerusalem will die from war, famine, or disease. But those who go out and surrender, interesting point here, to the Babylonians, will live. Their reward will be life. What's happening here? Let me just give you a brief little history here. Back then, false prophets were saying the exact opposite thing of what God was saying. Jeremiah was the only true prophet, and he was saying things that nobody wanted to hear. And the prophets that were lying were saying things that everybody wanted to hear. They were giving them false hope. And Jeremiah was saying, your hope is in this narrow set of circumstances called obedience to God. And if you do what he says, you will have life. Listen, everyone that was in Jerusalem thought it was safe to stay within the city walls with the rest of the crowd. But they didn't realize that the Babylonians were sent by God. And they were sent to take over the city because the people had sinned against God. So the pressure is on now. Either I defect and turn on my own people and surrender to the foreigners outside the city gates, or stay with the people that I'm used to who think that they are safe. Do what I'm used to doing with everybody else, or take my chances and do what doesn't even make sense with the Word of God. Woo! God is saying the same thing to us today, people. He's saying the same thing today. Leave what you think you know. Leave what you think is comfortable. And surrender yourself to the Word of God, no matter what it says, no matter how crazy you think it is, no matter what you think is wrong with it, no matter who you think wrote it, no matter what you want to come up with to kind of, you know, diffuse it or dismantle it or reconstruct it, repackage it, surrender to God. Why? Because there you will have life. If you stay where you think you should stay, by your own thinking, you will die. And isn't that what's happened? Every time I did what everybody else is doing, what did I bring in? Death. Destruction. Messed up my whole family. Messed up the church. Messed up all the people around me. Huh? Bad representation of God. What did I do? I messed up. Whenever I did what everybody else wasn't doing and listened to God, that's when I found life. Are you seeing it? The crowd is not God. The world system is not God. The TV shows don't speak for God. They don't know God. Stop listening to them. Pull out your Bible. Trust the Word. It's opposite of my common thinking. It's another perspective. John 5:22. I'll let Jesus end it. John 5:22-29. This is what Jesus said. We're done. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. My goodness. But is passed from death unto life. Thank you, Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they shall hear and shall live. They that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Basically he's saying, don't trip. Don't get confused. Don't find a loophole. For the hour is coming in which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Whew, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto resurrection life. And they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. We need a perspective change. What's important to you? Is it worth it? Is it for Christ? Is it about Christ? Does it agree with Christ? Does it represent Christ? Does it make you look like Christ? Because the hour is coming. I'm grateful to God that He's allowed me to teach line by line. Because I cannot cherry pick what He's saying. The warnings are clear. I don't know if you've noticed since we've been in this church, but every Sunday, there's been that that makes us go, hold on, wait a minute. Am I on the fence? Do I need to get off the fence? Am I taking God seriously? Am I playing games? Am I hypocriting? Or do I think God is stupid? Am I choosing life? Huh? Am I choosing life? I'll talk about it next Sunday about the life and death consequences. All through the Bible. All through the Bible. He wants you to choose Him. He does not desire that any of us should perish. He wants you to stop playing games and say, I can't do it. I need your help. Do something in me. I'm sick of me. I'm tired of me. Change my calendar. Change my schedule. Change my desires. They're running me into the ground. I'm running into the same dead end over and over again. I'm getting older now. Some of the things that I thought I wanted, you gave them to me. Now I don't want them anymore. I'm sick of that stuff. It did nothing for me. I need you every day.
Every day.
I need to lean on you every day. I don't have the right perspective without you. I will fall from the pastor to the greeter. Doesn't matter. I'm leaning every day. I want to do your will, God. I see Kaiser right behind me. I see him. I'm not stupid. I realize that. Huh? What am I planning? What do I think is going to happen? This is not heaven.
No, it's not.
This is earth.
That's right.
I'm not saying that God won't do some wonderful things. I'm just saying He will not compete with those things.
That's right. That's right.
He wants your heart. He wants you to be sold out. Because things are things. And they will burn up. And the only thing that lasts is our relationship with Christ. Amen? So, where's your joy? Right there. Where's your joy? See, that's the thing I'm asking God to work on. Constantly remind me of what's coming. So I can get my mind off of what I see. I got to have this. I got to experience that. I got to do this. Just like Eve had to. She just got to have it. The knowledge of the tree of good and evil. What is that? I just want to know what it's like to do evil. I heard what you said, but I'd like to know what it's like. And if you don't do something in my heart, that will never change. I'm asking your help, God. I need a new perspective.